I want you to take your Bibles and be turning with me to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. And those of you who are ambitious, I want you to also go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Whatever just happened, can we go back to the way it was? It just went dead on me all of a sudden. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And Colossians chapter number 2. If you need a handout, lift your hand up real high, and our ushers will be glad to give you one. There'll be verses on there that we'll be looking at. All right, Colossians chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter number 1. All right. Y'all glad to be here? Give me a good amen, huh? Yeah. Great to be here. We're going to learn about angels again this morning. We're going to talk about angels. We did last Sunday morning and Sunday night. And we're going to focus on that again this morning. Believers teaching angels. You know, angels are fascinating creatures of God. In your handout, it says they're God's heavenly warriors that carry on the business of heaven. You know, people think angels are these white, fluffy, little stuffed animal things, you know. And that's not an angel. An angel is a warrior. In fact, when Jesus comes back at the second coming, he's coming back with his mighty angels, and he's coming to make war. You can see angels in the Bible wiping out entire armies in a single night. You see angels coming and bringing judgment, like on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels, man, I tell you, we saw last Sunday night when an angel gets worked up to do something, you better look out, because angels are pretty tough. We learned last week that in time past, now when I say that, time past, I'm not talking about yesterday. When I say time past, I'm talking about the time period before the cross, before God began to form the church, the body of Christ. So I'm talking about prior to the last 2,000 years approximately of history, when we've been in the time of grace, the church age. Before that, before the cross, in time past, angels were very involved in the affairs of God's people Israel. We saw that they were mentioned almost 200 times. One of the angels' functions in time past was that they would come and they'd give instruction to people. For example, we saw Joseph. When Joseph needed instruction and he needed understanding about Mary when she conceived Christ, I mean, here this engaged woman that he's engaged to is pregnant. Well, he needed some understanding. He needed some instruction. And an angel came and explained to him how that Mary was a virgin. She had conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that was the Son of God. So the angel comes and gives him that understanding. Angels are only mentioned 13 times by the Apostle Paul when he's writing directly to us, to the church, the body of Christ. And here's the thing. In your handout, it says they're mentioned 13 times, but never are angels said to be instructing us or teaching us today. Quite frankly, we don't need angelic instruction. And we studied this last Sunday morning, that we do not need to sit around and wait for an angel to come and enlighten us. I don't have to sit around and wait for an angel to come and give me God's truth or give me God's instruction. You say, why not? I am so glad to be able to tell you this morning that we have God's completed word. We have every bit of truth that we need from God, and it's in a book called the Bible. And you've got everything you need right here. The Bible says that we are complete in Christ. Not only do I have God's completed book, I got the author of the book living inside of me if I know the Lord is my Savior. I've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. The Holy Spirit's the one that moved the men to write it, and He lives inside of me. So the author of the book, I got the book, I got the author of the book, and so I don't need an angel. I don't have to sit around waiting for an angel to come in and instruct me. I've got God's truth right here in my hands, and I got the author living inside of me. I've got His Holy Spirit if I'm saved today. So that's great news. But let me share something with you that may shock some of you. While I don't need an angel to come and instruct me today in this dispensation, okay, in your handout it says, we as members of the body of Christ teach angels today. While I don't need an angel to teach me, I and you and I, who are members of the body of Christ, we teach angels. Now, before y'all sit out there and go, point at me and go, and before you, hit the exit doors, I want you to hear me out this morning, and I want you to see what the Bible says. The Bible teaches that angels can learn from us. You say, how can that be? Well, we're going to see it in the Bible. I want to give you two simple truths this morning. Number one in your handout is this. We must understand that angels are watching us. Angels are watching us. Now, God, in your handout, go right back to your handout. God makes it very clear that we do not see angels today. Okay? We don't see angels, but angels do observe us. Go with me to Colossians 2. Okay, I hope you turn there. We really need to learn the books of the New Testament. I hope you'll kind of make that a goal this year. You'll memorize the books of the New Testament. So when I ask you to turn to a book of the New Testament, boom, you know right where to go. Okay. In fact, last week we said the first four books of the New Testament are what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What's the next one? Acts. Acts means the Acts of the Apostles after Christ ascended up into heaven. In Acts 1, He resurrects, He ascends into heaven, and then you have the Acts of the Apostles and what they did after He ascended. So you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then the very next book, does anybody know? What is it? Romans. That's the first book Paul wrote to us, the church, the body of Christ. So Acts is that bridge. It takes you over to the time period of today. And so it's really neat the way God laid that out, you know. So memorize those this year. Now we're in Colossians. This is one of the books Paul wrote. He wrote it to a local church like us. And look what he told them in verse 18. Now we're going to look at this verse more in depth Wednesday night in our Wednesday night study through Colossians. But for this morning, let's just kind of grab a hold of this thing. I want you to see something here. Look at verse 18. It says, "Let no man," Paul said, "beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Paul says, you know, you guys, you gotten fascinated with angels, you're fascinated with the spirit world, and Paul says, some of you even claim to have worshiped angels and seen angels. He said, but I got news for you, no you didn't. He said, you're intruding into things that you've not seen. You're vainly puffed up in your fleshly mind, and he said, you've been beguiled. And that word beguiled means trickery. What he's saying is, man, you've been duped, and you purport to have seen angels, but he said, you haven't seen them at all. Why? Well, there's no need for a believer to see an angel today. Why? Because God has equipped us thoroughly through His Word. We walk by faith, not by sight, Paul said. Look at Colossians 2 and verse number 10. Go up to verse 10. Paul told the members of the body of Christ, he told us, that we are complete in Him. He says, you're complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. So now, look up here. I've been placed in Jesus Christ, if I'm saved. I've got God's very Spirit living inside of me. I've got every word that God wants me to have in a book called the Bible. So I got all these privileges, and the Bible says these things, they equip me, they throughly furnish me unto all good works. So I've got everything I need in Christ, in His Word, through His Holy Spirit living inside of me, so there'd be no need for me to see an angel. For me to have to see an angel and get instruction from an angel, that would be a step down from what I already have. You understand that? I've got God Almighty living inside of me. If you are saved today, the Bible says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You've got God Himself, Christ in you, living inside of you. Now, for me to move away from that and need an angel, that'd be a step down. See, I've got everything that I need in Christ. Now, here's the deal though. While I don't see angels today, God's Word is equally clear that angels are indeed watching us. I want you to go with me to 1 Timothy. Well, actually, go to your handout. It's in your handout. 1 Timothy 5:21. Look what the Bible says. This is very insightful. Paul's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things, the things that Paul had written to him, without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Now Paul says to Timothy, he says, listen, man, I'm charging you. I'm challenging you, Timothy. Observe the things that I've taught you. Do the things I've told you to do. Obey. Do the things I've written to you. Why? He said, well, because God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, the elect angels are watching you. I am charging you in their sight that you observe the things that I've told you to do. So he says, you know what, Timothy, angels are watching you. You need to obey these things. Okay, go with me to your handout, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. It's in your handout. For I think, Paul said, that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a what? Spectacle. We're made a spectacle unto the world and to who? Angels and to men. That word spectacle is a great word. And we're familiar with that word. I wonder how many of you this morning, how many of you got your specs on? Raise your hand if you got some specs. There we go. All right, a lot of people. I had my specs on this morning before I came here, and then I threw in my invisible specs. I got on contacts this morning. So I had on my specs, and we'd call them specs. See, that's short for spectacles. And the word spectacle is the Greek word theatron. It's where we get the word theater. In fact, if you look up that Greek word theatron, it's translated here as spectacle. It's translated in Acts 19 as theater. And so what Paul is trying to get across here is he's saying we're made a spectacle. That word spectacle means a place for public show, like a theater. It's kind of like picture of you've got a football game going on, and you got 60,000 people up in the stands. And basically, a football stadium is a big theater. And so you got these 60,000 people up here in this stadium or theater. And what are they doing? They're looking down. They're looking down on the field, and they're watching and they're observing the players. They're watching them. They're reviewing them. They're analyzing them. They're critiquing them. Now, picture this. We're the players. We're the ones out on the field. We're out here living the Christian life. We've got the Word of God. We're out here running the race, as Paul said, the Christian life. And the angels are the ones up in the stands, and they're observing us. They are watching us. We're made a spectacle to them. They watch and observe us. That's what angels are doing. In your handout, it says that angels are curious creatures. Angels are carefully scrutinizing our lives. They're observing us. They're paying close attention to us. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there were a few angels watching us right now. Watching this meeting. I'll bet you that there are angels watching this meeting right now. Who knows, when I said that, one of them may have elbowed the other one and said, he's talking about us. I don't know. One may just follow you home today and observe you and observe what's going on in your life. I'm not being spooky, I'm just being realistic. One may follow, you're not going to see them, they're invisible creatures. Okay, we learned last week their nature is different than ours. They're spirit beings. We're flesh and blood beings. They're not flesh and blood. And so they work invisibly for the most part. You're not going to see them, but they're there, the Bible teaches. The Bible says Christ created the visible and invisible things. They're one of those invisible things that you're not. They're spirit beings. One may follow you home today and just observe and watch what's going on in your life. You say, man, I hope one wasn't in the car this morning when I came to church. I was fighting with a wife, you know, and arguing. And we've all been there, you know. That's why we drive separate cars to church, you know. But, right, honey? But they're, you know, the angels, I'm being silly, but the angels, they are fascinated by the church. They're fascinated by members of the body of Christ. And how important is every detail of your life? See, when you think that nobody is watching, there are unseen observers that are being instructed by you. And that brings me to my next point. And I want to go ahead and give you that if you'll turn your handout over. Number two, and this is the last point I want to give you this morning. Angels can understand God's wisdom by observing us. Angels can understand God's wisdom by observing us. Now, angels are not omniscient. Do y'all know what that means? What does omniscient mean? All-knowing. They're not all-knowing. They're not like God. They're not omniscient. They are limited. And there are things that an angel has not experienced and that an angel does not understand. Let me give you an example. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. I had you turn there. Now, go keep your book marker here in Colossians or something there because we're going to come back close to Colossians. So that way you'll already be there. But go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Angels are not omniscient. They're not all-knowing. They can still learn. Look at 1 Peter 1, and let's begin reading in verse number 10. Now, follow the wording here. Think with me. Make sure now, when we come to church, we don't want to check our brains at the door. Amen? We want to come in, we want to think. And that if a church isn't making you think, then you got to question that. You want to come in, you want to think. You want to examine the Scriptures. What's it saying? Look at verse 10. Of which salvation, Peter said, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. He said, so the prophets, they wrote and they did some prophesying. They wrote down some things, the Old Testament prophets, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time. So they were searching. What manner of time? The Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. When it testified, when the Holy Spirit testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So now look up here. What he's saying is the prophets wrote down prophecies about Jesus Christ. Psalm 22, it's like the psalmist was sitting right at the foot of the cross, writing all about it. It has 1,000 years before the cross. It was before crucifixion was even a mode of capital punishment, and the psalmist is sitting there writing about it in Psalm 22, prophetically. Well, so the prophets are back there in the Old Testament, and they're writing this stuff down. And they're searching how, they're thinking, how's this going to work? How's this going to happen? And the Bible says they wrote about the sufferings of Christ and then the glory that should follow, speaking of when He comes back and He rules and reigns on the earth in glory. So they're writing about this stuff. Now look at verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, but then it says, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things. Okay, us that were on the other side of the cross. We look back and we can see it all clearly. He says they wrote these things down. They didn't really get it. They were writing it for you, he said. Now look at this. Which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, God revealed the facts about the cross. He revealed the facts about Christ. But He did not reveal the full meaning and the full impact of what it would all mean. In the Old Testament, when they wrote these things, God didn't reveal how it was all going to work, how it was all going to fit together, what all would be accomplished there on that cross. The prophets themselves, they didn't understand many times what they're writing. And in verse number 12, it says the angels, they didn't comprehend it either. They didn't get it. They couldn't put the pieces of the puzzle together. They're not all-knowing. And they didn't quite understand. The Bible says, though, that they desired to look into it. They wanted to get it. They wanted to understand it. As that prophet's sitting there writing and the angels are watching, I mean, you can just hear an angel in the background as the prophet scratches his head and the prophet writes it and says, man, how's that going to work? I don't know. How's that going to happen? You know, how in the world is all that going to occur? That how, suffering and then glory, and they're scratching their head. And the angels probably think, you dummy, get it. Come on, get it. Not that he's saying it out loud, but the angel's probably sitting there thinking, come on, man, put it together. Come on, we want to know too. We want to get it. We want to figure it out. Come on, man, get it. Bible says the angels wanted to look into these things. They wanted to understand them. Oh, angels are snoopy. You know anybody that's snoopy? You ever had a kid that was snoopy? When my parents went in the bedroom to talk, that always scared me a little bit. You think I was a guilty conscience? And I can remember my parents, like, say this is the bedroom. My parents would be in here and they'd be talking. And you know what I'd be doing? I'd be behind the door and I'd have my ear up to the door. And then they'd open up the door and I'd be like... They're like, what were you doing? Nothing. Just passing by. How many of y'all got kids that are snoopy like that? Huh? They want to know everything going on. Can I tell you, they're just being like little angels when they do that. Because angels are curious, snoopy creatures. They want to know. They want to be in the know. They want to get it. Let me give you another example. Go to Ephesians 3. Okay, now you're in Colossians. So if you can go back to Colossians, you're going to go to the left, two books. And that'll take you to Ephesians chapter number... Let's go to chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. All right, look what Paul writes here in verse number 9. Paul's writing to the church. And let's go up to verse 8. He said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given." Look at this. This was Paul's mission. "That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now look at verse 9. "And to make all men see." He said, man, I'm out there trying to make all men see. "What is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been" what? Come on, say it real loud. Hath been what? Hid. Hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. In your handout, it says there was a great mystery hidden in God from the beginning of the world. God kept a secret. And it was the wonderful truth of where we've been living for the last 2,000 years since the cross work of Jesus Christ. And that is, God is forming something altogether new today. He's forming the church, the body of Christ. And God is taking Jewish and Gentile believers and He's baptizing them or placing them by the Holy Spirit into Jesus Christ. He's taken pagan, unclean Gentiles. We had no hope. The Bible says we had no promises, we had no covenants, and yet God is abundantly shedding forth His grace because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And He's offering His grace based on what Christ did to everyone in the world. And in your handout, it says He's taking Gentiles, saving them by His grace. Saving them by His grace. I hope you're saved by grace today. I hope you know the Lord, because what He does, He saves you and then He places you into Christ. And Paul said this is a great mystery. It was hidden in the mind and in the wisdom of God. But now, listen, this was a secret. It was a mystery. It was hidden. Now it's possible for the angelic creation to learn and understand about this great wisdom and mystery of God. Look with me at verse number 10. It says, "To the intent," follow the words here, "that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places." Who's that talking about when it talks about principalities and powers in heavenly places? It's talking about angels, right? And whenever you see principalities and powers, remember Colossians 1:16? Christ created all things, visible and invisible, principalities and powers. Whenever you read about principalities and powers, that's speaking of those ranks of position and authority up there in the heavenlies. Now, some of those positions, we know they went with Satan. So you've got Satan's angels, but then you've got God's angels. And there's this war going on, the Bible says. But now Paul says that the principalities and powers, I think the reference here is to God's angels, the principalities and powers up there in heavenly places, look at it, it says, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now wait a minute. He says that the angels up there now can be instructed about the wisdom of God, about this mystery. And about this manifold wisdom of God. But my question is this, if angels, if the angelic creation, if they're going to learn and understand this great wisdom, this great mystery of God, that God's doing today, taking believers, putting them into His Son, forming this new organism called the body of Christ, putting His grace inside of us, putting Christ Himself inside of us, giving us the very life of Jesus Christ. If angels are going to be instructed about that wisdom, how are they going to learn it? Look at verse 10. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known, and what's the next three words? By the church. Well, who is that? Bingo. That's us. In your handout, look at that statement. It says, how are they going to learn about this great wisdom? It says, by the church. By the church. That's us. As believers in Christ, we demonstrate to the angels the manifold wisdom of God and grace of God in our daily lives. Look, we don't demonstrate to the angels the power of God. They know all about the power of God. Man, they were there when God laid the foundations of the earth on nothing. The Bible says, man, He created this globe. He created this thing we call earth. And He hung it out there in space on nothing. And the angels were there to see and watch and behold that. They know all about the power of God. Oh, man, they've seen the power of God. We don't demonstrate to them the power of God, but you know what? We, as saved individuals of the body of Christ, we demonstrate to the angels the grace and the redemption of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. We demonstrate that to them. In your handout, it says, angels know nothing of God's grace and redemption. And if they are to know anything about them, if they're going to know anything about those things, grace and redemption and forgiveness, it's going to be by watching us. They learn, and as they see God's grace and wisdom working in us, being demonstrated through us. I want you to look up at verse 9. Stay with me now, in just a couple of minutes here. Look at verse 9. Paul said, and to make all men see, now look at this, what is the, what's that next word there? It starts with an F. What is that? Fellowship. The fellowship of the mystery. Wow. You know what that's talking about? Galatians 3:27 says that a believer, someone who's trusted the Lord, we have, the Bible says, we have put on Christ. What that means is that when God sees you, the believer, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. The believer stands before God in the identity and in the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. God sees Christ when He looks at us. Why? Because He's been imputed to us. We are clothed in Him. We are found in Him, having His righteousness, Paul said. So when God sees us, He sees Christ. And then the angels look at us. And when they see us, they are instructed about the wisdom of God. That God would make such a plan, that God could devise such a thing, that He could take sinners alienated from God by our own wicked works and reconcile us unto God. And then that God would take His very presence and Spirit, put it inside of us, identify us in His Son eternally. To think that God could devise such a plan through His cross work, through what Jesus did on the cross, paying for our sins on that cross. To think of the plan of God, it's just mind-boggling. And then He takes us and makes us one of His children. We are members of the immediate family of God, and we can look up and we can cry, Abba, Father. Did you know only one person in the Bible ever called God that? That was Jesus. And Paul said, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. He said, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's the kind of relationship you've been brought into with God if you know His Son, Jesus Christ. And in your handout, it says the angels have never enjoyed this. They have never had that kind of intimate family relationship with the Father. They know nothing about being part of the immediate family of God, sitting at his table and calling him Father. They don't know anything about that. And when the angels see us standing as who we are in Christ, as heirs, as part of the family of God, when they see us accessing into the very presence of God in prayer through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then what we do is, as we live that out in our daily life, as we demonstrate his grace, as we demonstrate the changed life that Christ has made in us, and as we demonstrate our relationship and we live in that intimate union and relationship with the Father in our daily life, then we instruct the angels about the wisdom of God that made it so. They're instructed about the wisdom of God that made it so. You know, some of you in here, because of your past, all you can do is think about your past, think about your problems, think about your sins, think about your shortcomings. And you identify yourself in those sins. You identify yourself in the past. You identify yourself in all those shortcomings. But I want you to know God doesn't do that. God identifies you in his Son. And God looks at you and realizes that when he looks at you, that you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And God doesn't identify you any longer by your past sins or your present failures. God identifies you by his Son, Jesus Christ. And God does not see what you are. He sees what you can be in Christ. He sees what you're capable of being. And God doesn't identify you in those things, and you need to stop identifying yourself in those things and thinking, well, I was that, and I am that, and I'm always going to be that. I can never change. You know what? You need to quit. Satan wants you to keep identifying yourself that way. God identifies you in his Son, Jesus Christ. And when you live out that identity, when it begins to sink in here and here, and you realize who you've been made in Christ and that you're not in bondage to that stuff anymore, and you begin to live out that grace in your daily life, the angels are instructed about the wisdom of God and the grace of God that makes that so. I'm going to ask you a question, and don't answer out loud. How are you doing in your instruction of the angels? Do they see you standing as who you are in Christ? Do they see you claiming and living in that victory that you've been given through the cross work of Christ? Or do they see us walking according to the old man in the fleshly lust, you know, of our minds? How do the angels see us living our daily life? Do they see the grace of God? You know, I think about that verse when Barnabas came to the church in Antioch. The Bible says he came to the church and he saw the grace of God. When he saw those people, he saw the grace of God. When the angels see you, do they see the grace of God? That's what we need to focus on. And in your handout, it says there at the bottom, when the believer, this is a great statement, I want you to get this. When believers live according to their marvelous position in Christ, when you go out and you begin to live in that identity, the angels see and they learn about the grace and wisdom of God, and our lives have an impact on earth and throughout the heavenly realm. Isn't that a neat thought, church? That our lives not only have an earthly impact, they have an impact that echoes throughout the heavenly realm when we're living according to who we've been made in Christ. Let's do this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. And with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And I want to ask you this question this morning. Do you know that you are in Christ? Do you know that you have His life? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that God sees you in His Son? Do you know that? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you ever believed on Him and trusted Him? Maybe you've trusted in yourself. Maybe you trusted in religion. God wants you to trust in Jesus. Trust His Son. And I wonder how many of you this morning are here and you'd say, Pastor Dan, I am not sure that all my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure that I'm in Christ. I'm not sure that God sees me that way, but I want that. Pray for me that I can have that peace of knowing that if I die today, I'm going to heaven. I want to know that I have that intimate family relationship with God that you talked about. I don't know that I have that, but I want that. Pastor Dan, pray for me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, and you'd like for me to pray for you, would you lift your hand up right now? You say, I'm just not sure I have that intimate family relationship with the Lord. I want that, though. I just don't know that I have it. Anyone, just lift your hand up. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else, just lift it up and put it right back down. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else, just lift it up, put it right back down. Nobody's looking. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. You can put it right back down. Anyone else? I'm just not sure I have what you were talking about there, that I have that intimate family relationship. Anybody else? Just lift your hand up, put it right back down. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Anyone else? With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, I'm going to pray, and after I pray, if you would like to come and if you would like to have someone talk to you about how you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you have that settled, that you know that heaven is your home, you know you're in the family of God, if you'd like for somebody to talk to you about that in just a moment, we'll give you that opportunity. Father, thank you for your word. Do a mighty work now. We love you and thank you that, Lord, when we come and we trust Christ, you identify us eternally in your Son, and you see us that way. Thank you. Thank you. May we go out and live in that identity that you've given us in Christ. And I pray for those who lifted their hands, just not sure that they have that relationship with you. I pray they'll get that settled today. I remember the day I got that settled, and it's so thrilling. So I pray for them now. For it's in Jesus' name I pray.